Picture this, 10,000 head of Rambouillet Merino sheep spending their days grazing in the crisp air of the Montana mountains, producing the finest wool in America. These rugged landscapes are our home and have been for four generations. Welcome to Duckworth Premium Merino Wool. Every garment is born from American soil and crafted with passion, pride, and precision. From the sheep grazing on our Montana ranch to the skilled craftsmen and women whose hands knit, sew, and spin every fiber that make up our products, our process is a collaboration of American ingenuity and dedication. With Duckworth Merino Wool, you're not just buying a garment, you're investing in a legacy. Our commitment to growing, spinning, knitting, and sewing our own garments right here in America ensures unparalleled quality with stewardship of the land at our core. And the best part? You can wear our products with pride, knowing that you're supporting local communities and American workers every step of the way. So if you're ready to experience the true essence of American craftsmanship, visit Duckworth.com today. Apparel for the outdoor enthusiast and everyday lifestyle alike. We believe there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing. Check out Duckworth today. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Hello and welcome back to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day today. I want to remind you of a few things before we get into this interview today. I've got some really great things going on with my boys over at the Sons and Slaves Podcast. Never thought I'd be a co-host with a podcast with my boys, but we are having a blast. Would love for you to check that out and pass that along. If you are a father raising sons, this is the podcast for you. If you've got young boys, if you've got homeschool stuff going on, you can hit play and in a 15 to 20 minute episode, you can listen to us talking about a chapter from the book Boyhood and Beyond by Bob Schultz. And we're just going chapter by chapter through this book, and my boys are doing a great job. We are eventually going to pass that on to them where that's their show, but right now we're just doing this together, and it's just a great time. So please check that out if you would. Also check out Fruitful and Fearless. Jordan continues to do a great job with that. And also want to remind you of the Shepherd's Crook Intensive. It's coming up May 16th through the 18th, and we got guys coming in from all over the country. We want you to join us in Eminence, Missouri. Edie Robles is going to be speaking, and Matt Reynolds will also be there speaking, and I might jump on a session as well. And we're going to have a rowdy time. We're going to have a fun time, and we're going to hear good teaching and spend some time floating down the Jacks Fork River. We're also going to go north of town to a shooting range before or on Thursday, right before everything gets kicked off. We're going to do some shooting and some fishing if you want to fish. And we're going to have a strongman comp. Everything that you just think is cool, that's what we're going to do. We would love for you to come. It's $175 to camp, $300 if you want a cabin. Reach out to me. Would love to have you on the show, or love to have you to the intensive. All right. Got a repeat guest today. I'm excited to get an update from him. And if you don't know of him, he is somebody you want to get to know. He's got a great podcast that we'll be talking a little bit about and great ministry. His name is Massey Campos. Massey, how's it going, man?
I'm great. How are you, man?
Fantastic.
Good to be on with you.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. It's great to have you back. What's the temperature down there in Florida right now?
Oh, we're sitting at, it's not that, about 75.
I mean, it's just not, suffering down there. 75, yeah. And sunny.
It's where the Lord has me, man.
Yeah, you got to be where the Lord has you. You know,
go.
Suffering for
he
Jesus.
He said go,
there.
And I'm going. But I came.
Down there in the
he
land.
Called me with... out of Minnesota. He called me out of Minnesota, dog. So like,
oh, he did.
Minnesota, yeah, that's negative 30 stuff.
Yeah,
so God is good to me.
Yeah, and from Minnesota to Florida, where you don't have any state income tax, so praise the Lord.
And it happened before COVID, right, in 2016, so it was like perfect.
That is great. That's really great. Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll dive into our conversation for the day. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon it. Thank you, Massey, and all that you're doing in his life and ministry. Thank you for his boys and his wife, and for their just the fruit that's coming from their life and their family. We ask your blessing upon this time. I pray that you give him supernatural energy as he's pastoring, as he's raising his sons, as he's traveling the country speaking. God, give him just continued direction and just the strength that he needs to do well all the hats that you have him wearing at this point. And so we just trust you're going to lead this conversation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, if people have been listening for a while, they probably remember I had you on, I don't know, it's 2 years ago at this point, maybe a little longer. Why don't you go ahead and just tell us what you do and who you are, and then tell us a little bit about your family as well.
Sure. Massey, how you doing? And I run a ministry. We own it and started in 2016. It's called Self-Evident Ministry. And it was really the idea of what makes America, you know, the popular saying, America, make America great again. Well, what was that? You know, most people think it's our industry, our military, all these other things. That's what modern people think today. Actually, if you go back to the founding, it was the Lord, because we didn't have a strong economy when we were first founded. We didn't have a strong military, quite the opposite. It was bad. What founded us was liberty, and the liberty in our consciences to worship God, to do what we need to do, be industrious, all these things. So it was really liberty was what made America great. And so in 2016, we decided to travel and talk about what these founders did, what their view was biblically, why they started a country. And if you didn't know, a lot of our founders, 34% of the quotes that they had were from the Bible and other Enlightenment thinkers, Blackstone, you know, Locke, all these guys. And all these guys had a common theme, a utopian society. In other words, something that we could make better. Well, if we look at America over the last 100 years, it hasn't gotten better necessarily. It's gotten actually worse morally. And they knew without a moral society, a republic couldn't be stayed. Ben Franklin actually talked about that. So we thought, how do we correlate what's going on now with the Bible, but then to what real history means? Mm-hmm. And so I've been traveling constantly talking about what America's original pulpit I did last year, what the pulpits were thundering back in the day and what made America so strong. And Lemuel Haynes, I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was the first black preacher. Mm-hmm. He actually said, in the 1700s, that's what God gave us, was men full of conviction, worthy to stand, willing to stand, and they were actually able to carry out God's plan. And so now we're teaching that to youth. We're teaching that to adults. We're teaching that to senators all over the country, and really bringing the Bible to life and history to life. To me, people prophesy a lot. You know, there's all these prophets and doing all these things. To me, it's just history repeating itself. Either we do what history says or we don't do it. And look what happens when we don't abide by history and, you know, mm-hmm. all of its downfalls. And so we're in our eighth year. We have a podcast called Self-Evident Podcast. We do it twice a week, but I'm about to go daily with it because there's so much to talk about and history. I want to bring history to light and how we can learn from history and what's happening today. A good one would be, we just talked about Machiavellianism and how that's really shaping the narrative today. The Trump, I'm not against President Trump. I'm against the idolatry of what we've created out of President Trump. And so how do we correlate? How do we fix that as Christians, especially? And then two, we have something new called Strike Force, where we're getting churches involved in their local governments. We have three people in our church now who have been elected to school board and removed 90 books, I think.
Oh, wow.
Full of pornographic material. So we're now working on a third city council, or I'm sorry, school board member, town council member, and a county council member from our strike force, where we do it in churches across America. We just launched it 6 months ago. Hmm. And so that's beginning to take shape too. How do we get the church involved in these affairs? So there's so much going on. God is good. And I'm so grateful to be here with you, because we got to get you on the podcast, because you freaking rock, bro. I love you. From the moment I met you and your wife and your kids, I've taken so much counsel from you, not even knowing it. I don't think you knew that, but interacting with my sons, I have three boys, 15, 13, and 10, and an awesome wife who just follows my craziness and says, we're going to go do the things of God. And just your counsel and stuff has helped me too, man. And I love your podcast. I love your Sons of Slaves podcast. I'm sorry. Yeah, Sons of Slaves.
Yeah, that's it.
And so all that stuff, I love you, man, and what you bring. And you're so solid and knowledgeable that it makes it to where it's not boring gospel stuff. It's actually true blue. It's in your heart gospel, and it's not head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. And I love it, man. So I'm just honored.
I appreciate that. That's awesome. Well, it seems like a pretty neat story. So beforehand, or you just said you moved from Minnesota to Florida. You started the ministry 8 years ago. And, you know, it's 8 years ago. Okay. I went to school, went to college in the early 2000s, and was caught up basically in the Gospel Center movement in the Gospel Coalition. And I was, my dream, man, was to plant a church through Acts 29. And this was in like 2008. That was just what I wanted to do. And so that's the big evangelical establishment of what people call Big Eva. That was what I loved. And then as things began to fall apart, you had people through that whole time, like Tim Keller, who promoted basically policies in a so-called Christian political movement that sought the middle ground on everything. And so it was common to say, Jesus isn't right. Jesus isn't left. He's right in the middle. And what ended up happening through that whole movement, it seems like, even to this day with the Gospel Coalition, Russ Moore, is basically the only way you can use the Bible is to defend left-wing policies and move people incrementally farther left. And that's right. What I just witnessed is people that I was in ministry with and in church planting networks with just begin to move further, 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 further left. And it just got – it didn't pass the smell test. There was just something that was off. And thinking through the Bible, the history of America, and then starting this self-evident ministry – it doesn't seem like it's a recipe for a wildly successful ministry. And yet God has blessed it and taken it off. I'm interested in this particular time. What was it from the beginning? Obviously God's grace and God's hand on this, but I know you had some really great mentors and things like that, but I just want to hear the story of how things have taken off. And then you said recently you guys have experienced some growth. So I just want to hear about that.
Yeah. So it's not a recipe for growth. And I'll tell you why, because we don't fit the right narrative and we don't fit the left narrative. And that's what I had a guy just tell me this. So every other week we started doing a Bible study with our sons, just the dads. You know, we get together, we do Bible study, really get in the word. And one of the dads, he has a nonprofit as well. And he said to me, man, you should be getting tons of money for this, man. I mean, they would love you in the political sphere. I'm like, you know why they don't? It's because I'm not praising their guy. You know, mm-hmm. I don't go out and do the idolatry stuff. And I remember saying I didn't right away endorse Trump as president in 2016. And I lost a lot of events because I just wouldn't outright endorse him. And the reason I wouldn't isn't because I didn't like him. I didn't like let me reverse. The a lot of prophets were coming out and saying he's got the anointing of King Cyrus. He's like a King Cyrus. He's a guy coming. And I'm like, yo, stop. In America, we don't have a king.
Yeah,
you know, the people are the kings. We're the Caesars, not them. Mm-hmm. And so you're putting on this dude something he doesn't deserve, something that's not given to him constitutionally nor biblically. And so I was very like sounding the alarm of no, stop. You know, we're putting too much on this guy. And it happened. You're seeing now the executive orders, all these things were happening. So it isn't something that's a recipe for success. However, what I noticed was people are looking to get out of the idolatry system and say, what is God doing in the midst of this? In the midst of all the prophets talking and all these preachers and all these people who are on the right or the left, what's the grounded side of this? And I just go right back to the law. You know, mm-hmm. what is their job? Their job is to make sure our liberties are secure, and that's it. Mm-hmm. They have 17 enumerated powers. That's all they're called to do. They're not supposed to make war out of thin air. They're not supposed to create money out of thin air, yet we've seen that. They're not supposed to be involved in our education system the way they are, but they are. How do we get back to that? It's our local area, our local mm-hmm. cities. And that's what really took shape was us talking about states' rights and seeing our governor, DeSantis, really kick butt. During COVID. Now, he didn't do it right away. I'll give everybody that. He wasn't right away in this camp. But Kristi mm-hmm. Noem and all these other governors who took shape and said, no, our states belong to us and the people, not the federal government. That really started to get people understanding why we were talking about what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you saw what happened with a kind of a ruler mentality. Yeah, so you saw what happened with ruler, like a ruler type mentality where the president does everything. He comes down, gives an edict from the Fauci guy, and they say all states have to shut down. You had Jen Psaki at the time say that federal law trumps state law, which is not true, according mm-hmm. to Article 9 and 10 of the Bill of Rights. So you saw this kind of mentality. And because people are ignorant, we fell into the trap of, okay, we got to shut down. The government says. Well, that's how you know you're in tyranny, when the government says something and all of a sudden you just automatically obey. A lot of churches did that. So what made the message popular was, no, you don't have to do that. And so mm-hmm. you and I communicated through that time. You yeah. sent me a couple of documents about the vaccinations and stuff like that, which we yeah. used, kind of integrated our own lingo in it a little bit, but really mm-hmm. gave a lot of exemptions at that time because it is their religious exemption, and it shouldn't even be a religious exemption. It should be their choice.
Yeah,
that's what right. it should be. But you saw that. And so what really made the resurgence was, how can state governments win? And you saw state governments kick butt and sue and win. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think started to help the ministry kind of grow and take off. And now we're seeing more events happen out of that. We're seeing people call us a lot more for events. I'm starting to speak with Dave Glander and Reasons for Hope.
Okay.
That ministry, they're huge. They're going to kids and it's more apologetics. So I have to do more of an apologetics
okay.
topics with what I do. So I'm doing, I think, three or four of those this year, which is really exciting. I love apologetics, but mm-hmm. my lane is more government right now. And yeah. so I'm doing that. And I'll be talking about race and Christianity and stuff like that and how that all flows. Plus, our podcast started to really grow last year. And I know this isn't a lot, but it is to me. You know, we had 145,000 listeners last year. Listens. This year, we're on track to do 300,000. And that's going to keep going. But it's because I think we're just not going to talk the same old talking points everyone else does. Did you watch Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you remember that He Gets Us thing?
Yeah, it was awful.
Right. Mike said you should go comment on it. I'm like, just wait, because you're going to get 15,000 ministries go out and comment about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just let them do it. Let me focus on history, right? I could have done it.
Yeah.
But I thought, everybody kind of jumps on the new thing all the time. And I thought, why don't we talk about something nobody's talking about?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the federal government and how they're usurping their authority in history and why our founders left. And people are like, holy crap, this guy's, you know, talking about these things. And so I think that really helps us too, is just staying our lane. We know our lane. I'm not a current events guy.
Yeah.
I'm more, how can we learn from history and what we're seeing today? And again, I'm doing a whole research thing on the second century church, and we're in that right now, second century church. And so I love history as much as the next guy.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I'm reading right now. It's called The Origin of Principles of the American Revolution. And what it does, and I think it was John Adams who had to translate this from French, but it analyzes, does historical analysis on the differences between the French and the American Revolution. And the French Revolution was a revolution of chaos. It was taking the order, breaking it, and moving away from, you know, Christian principles. And it was a true upending of government, whereas our revolution was totally different. It was upholding the principles of truth, doing everything that we can, and it was, you know, it was Great Britain, and it was Parliament that was violating their own law, and it was just a totally different kind of revolution.
Totally
it was different. It wasn't the same at all. But I've been thinking about this, and what we're witnessing in our country is a true French Revolution. We are seeing. I looked at we have this voting guide for the state of Illinois. And I was just reading to Jordan these House bills and Senate bills that were going, dude, it was one insane thing after another. It was ensuring that men can have pap smears and that women can have prostate exams and all this kind of stuff. It was the weirdest legislation that's being promoted. And so what we're really witnessing is, it's like a guided French revolution by the name of democracy, which I've come to realize that democracy really means, what it really means when people say, well, we're in this for our democracy, is we want to have sex with whoever we want, and we want nobody to tell us anything else.
Yes.
Basically.
You hit it.
Yeah. So, it seems like there is just an absolute overturning of everything that's rational, just like the French Revolution.
That's where the French went wrong, according to Washington and a lot of these guys. I think they knew the French deserved their liberty as much as America did, right? However, Jefferson was all about their liberty, right? The problem is they didn't have the same moral sentiment that we did. We fought it based on principle of our rights are being violated. We've had repeated olive branches to the king, and then he calls us seditionists, and he puts a bounty on our heads. It's like, well, if we're going to die anyways, we might as well fight. And so it was defense in this sense.
Yes.
Now it's just like, we don't like you because our feelings are hurt. And so, and we're seeing that more and more today. And that's what happens when you teach people to forget their history and you get them on a whole, and this is all Saul Alinsky stuff, socialism stuff.
Yeah.
It's really making what real democracy is legalizing sin.
Mm-hmm.
So when we made sin votable, that's when we started to lose the republic, to me. Mm-hmm. We could still get it back then because we had Defense of Marriage Act and all these other things, which I don't agree even with that law. I don't think we should have even done that because it's not the government's jurisdiction in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have jurisdiction in marriage. So it's all scriptural. But when we started to vote on righteousness and unrighteousness, that's where we started to lose. We made government God at that point. They can tell us what's moral. Matter of fact, did you see, there's a recent story of a woman here, I think in Florida, who was asked to be across the parking lot at a Christian school because she had an OnlyFans account and she sent her kids to Christian school. Okay. She's really troubled by it. She's like, well, I'm not doing anything illegal. You know, it's legal according to the government. You see where her mind wasn't on what Christ thought. It was on, well, it's not illegal. I'm not. So, but our churches have allowed it to be taught, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the hope, though. I don't care how many churches don't teach it, whatever. God never used a majority to win his battles. Yeah. I quit focusing on what churches aren't doing and focusing on what should we do as the church. Like,
man, that's great.
I have to establish myself and make sure that we're working in our territory to advance the kingdom of God. Amen. Everything we do advances the kingdom. So who cares if Joel Osteen, I'm not saying heresy is good. Call it out when we see it. Mm-hmm. But there's so many ministries focused on what the church isn't doing and all these other things. It's like, why don't you just go do and leave the results to God?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's good. So I think in the area of law, and because I've been thinking through, so I like 4 or 5 years ago started reading some of the Reconstructionists. So like, R.J. Rushdoony, Gary North,
of course. Love him.
Those guys are, and then, you know, Doug Wilson is downstream of that. And so is Francis Schaeffer, really. Okay. Yeah, there we go. Nice. And just,
this is Christianity and the Constitution. Great book. You
really
get it.
Okay, good. Well, I'll try to remember to put that in the show notes. Let me write that down. But understanding, for some reason, there is this sentiment within Christians that God's law is oppressive and natural law or man's law is where the freedom lies. And we think about the federal law book and we have 30 something thousand federal laws on the books. And when you look at the state code and down to your local level, there are laws galore. And we look at the Old Testament, we're like, oh my goodness, you know, 630 something laws. That's really oppressive. It's like, well, wait a minute, hold on a second. Now I understand that proper application of God's law, it requires some work, but it's not that God's law is oppressive. It's that man's law is oppressive. And God's law cannot save, but it certainly declares to us what is just and right. And it reveals what is wicked and wrong. And I think it's critical for the church to rediscover, and I love what you're doing, is to rediscover that, you know, there is wisdom in God's law. And if you're a legislator, if you're elected or appointed official, what are you going to do? What are you going to appeal to when you're trying to fight for law? What is law? And in the city, in the county, in the state, and at the federal government level, laws are doctrinal statements that you're declaring to the people and imposing your morality on people. And so if you're going to do that, you better understand what's right and wrong. So in your understanding then, what, you know, I don't know if you would embrace theonomy as a theological position or not, but
I do.
Just understanding God's law as given to Israel, wouldn't we say that that's the best law that's ever been given?
Yes. I like theonomy. And I've listened to several theonomists who are pretty extreme. I like the RJ view. Mm-hmm. Rushdoony. I think Eidsmo would probably fall under kind of the theonomy line. As a matter of fact, one of the scriptures I use that makes sense. And our founders were very cautious about letting the church do what it needs to do. As long as it doesn't violate the rights of another, government can't impose. However, when the church starts to become the tyrant, because the churches have done that in the past and we see them now too.
Well, if the church tries to take the sword rather than, you know, God has given the church the keys. He's given the state the sword. He's given the family the rod. And so when we try to take one or the other, then we end up violating that which is delegated and regulated by God to those forms of government.
And what you just said is the proper context of Romans 13. Mm-hmm. Government bears the sword, but they don't bear it in vain. You break the law, you're going to get the consequence. In God's righteousness or God's rule, I don't have a sword. I don't have the judgment. That's God's domain, right? My job is to preach the gospel, hold people accountable, right? And see them through to repentance and consider myself, lest I also be tempted. Be careful, right? When a brother falls, you lift him up, that kind of stuff. Our families and all this other stuff, you're right. It's they hold the rod. We have to instruct our children. And one of the things that happened in our republic was we allowed the government to send our kids to school. Mm-hmm. And then that helped them raise them. It helped them get with other people who don't have the same moral value and structure as you. And so we started to see this kind of inbreeding. And Old Testament warned about this in the law.
Yeah, when you absolutely.
Go, other nations don't mingle with their gods. Don't marry outside of what you're, you know what I mean? Out of out of what you're doing, because you're going to take on their gods and your wives will be. So yeah. God really saw, like, if we don't think God is genius, he saw the heart and condition of man way before us. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 1, I think you know this one, Ephesians 1, 22 says, and God placed all things under Christ's feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Mm-hmm. So everything means everything, including government. Like, so mm-hmm. it's for the good of the Dang. Church, so the church yeah. can prosper, right?
Yeah.
And so in a theonomy view, I agree with that, that God's law should be the number one. Blackstone talked about it, actually. Anything contrary to God's law cannot be law, is what he wrote in his works.
Okay.
So according to even just that scripture alone, God gave authority to Christ for everything for the benefit of the church. So mm-hmm. the church could prosper and grow. And what is it every government does? They come after the church when God is dead. So if we can destroy God, then we come after the institutions that promote God, because mm-hmm. he's the moral standard and structure. And you just said it. They're more willing to, what's the word, listen to man's law
yeah.
over God's law.
Yeah.
And what is it? God's 10 commandments, IRS tax code is 125,000 pages. You tell me which one's oppressive,
yeah,
right?
Right.
When he's telling yeah. you thou shalt not, if you won't steal, then you won't steal, and you don't need 125,000 pages. And mm-hmm. G.K. Chesterton once said, if you don't listen to God's 10 commandments, you'll eventually submit to man's 10,000.
Oh, man, that's good.
And again, Proverbs 28:2, right? For the transgressions of the land, many of the princes are of. That's why you see so many bureaucracies, because mm-hmm. we don't hold ourselves accountable. And we need someone to protect us. So then we create mm-hmm. another bureaucracy for this stupid thing. Now we have these child protective services where they could take your kids at whim if you don't want to let them sex transition. And that happened when we gave authority to the government. Let's send our kids to school. Let's yeah. let's let them Gosh. Provide for us. Let's make sure we fund the beast that's killing us mm-hmm. by our taxes. We yeah. really do.
Yeah.
And so the founding fathers didn't want that. You know, they that's not what they set up. They wanted us to be free. Own your life, liberty, property. Genesis 1, mm-hmm. 26, 28. Life, liberty, property. That was their thing. And God, they wanted that because man should be free to do in his own conscience what he needs to do.
Well, how God do you... Himself. Yeah, so good. Okay, let me just ask this. So
sure.
I think the Anabaptist, pacifistic, we don't touch politics, we don't talk politics, is so pervasive and has been for so long. How do you yes. shock? And a lot of people have been shocked out of that. But how do you go about approaching somebody that's like that? Like, oh, I don't do politics. Let that. That's worldly. His kingdom is not of this world. How do you approach somebody like that? That's just kind of like on the fence. And, you know, we don't need to go there. We don't need to learn about American history. We don't need to do this. What do you do to just light a fire in them, or at least appeal, try to light a fire under somebody like that?
Yeah, I first asked them, what part of God's word doesn't apply to any sphere of society? What sphere of society does God's law not apply to?
Hmm.
That's the number one question that everyone's like, well, everywhere. Okay. Now that mm-hmm. we could start there, God doesn't really say much about schooling. He says for us to train up our children, right? But mm-hmm. yet we are homeschooling our children for the most part. These are most people that I meet who don't want to be involved. We're homeschooling our children. Why? Because we see what's going on in public schools and we don't want to be involved in that. We mm-hmm. want to raise our kids. But God doesn't really say much about training up your children, except for maybe three or four scriptures in the full context, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, we saw the father teach their sons the law and their lineages and stuff like that, but you don't really see like a specific focus.
Yeah.
You don't really see a specific focus on business, except for providing for your family, right? Mm-hmm. However you do that, you're not an infidel if you provide for your family.
Right.
Let's go with parenting. There's really not a whole lot on parent. There's no like real book on parenting, except for don't exasperate your children, you know, like raise them up in the nurture and admonition of Christ. In government, there's like six different chapters on government and how it should be run and how God's law created our monarchy system and all these other, and he didn't even want a monarchy system.
Yeah,
the Hebrew right. Republic, the Hebrews wanted that. Mm-hmm. We want to get out of the Republic system and have a king like other nations. Governments really showed us rebellion against God's word is really what happened.
Yeah.
And so when you have like Romans 13, 1 Peter 2, Titus 3, 1 Kings 18, these are all subjects and matters of government, how government should be run. Mm-hmm. And God talks about that a lot. But yet that was the one thing that was left out of a lot of preaching. But back in the day, boy, man, they used to preach those sermons.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan Mayhew in the 1750s wrote a commentary on Romans 13. And he said, why should I expound on other sources of the scriptures and not on this one? Some people will say I'm preaching government over Christ. I'm not. I'm saying Christians need to be involved in this realm. Yeah. And not a lot of people know this, but the Muhlenberg brothers helped write the First Amendment. I'm not saying they were the writers, but they helped write the First Amendment. Two preachers, two pastors. Did they write it for them to be silenced? No, they wrote it for them to be able to preach. So that's how I approach it, is God's word permeates every sphere of society. There's no off limits with God. Matter of fact, quite the opposite. He says the gates of hell won't prevail.
Yeah.
So if it is truly secular and full of Hades, then shouldn't we go in there and change that for the glory of God and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth?
Yeah.
You know, that's how I usually do it. So,
yeah, man, you're sounding post-millennial there a little bit, Massey.
I don't even know where my position is in that. Let me expound on this. I don't know when he's coming back. I just want him to, God, I'm gonna get emotional here, bro. Like, I want him to find us faithful. When he calls us home, I just want to be able to say, Lord, you gave me the five talents and I doubled them, you know?
Yeah, amen.
I did what you wanted me to do. I didn't bury it. And you know that whole thing, just that analogy, I don't even know if he was mad because the dude buried it, but in every society there's been inflation. When he buried it, it actually lost value because inflation.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to bury my talent. So because I preach the gospel, I pastor at a church, getting involved in government, I don't want to bury what he's given me. You see what I'm saying? So however he comes back, when he returns, none of my business. My job is to go change and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Yeah.
So if it's pre, post, mid, I'm good. Like whatever.
Well, I had a buddy of mine, Matt Williams. He had a really good show a few years ago, and he actually was talking about how the parable of the talents can really unite everybody of differing eschatologies, that we are all called to work and walk in the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to walk in. And regardless of what we expect about the future, what we're to do today has been outlined for us by God. Whatever we eat, drink, or do all to the glory of God. And man, use yourself with the gifts that God has given. Spend yourself and spend your life to see the kingdom of God advance. And, you know, he really determines what kind of advance we get to see or not. But man, that's a good word. Okay, you said Jonathan, somebody, you mentioned somebody that wrote a book in the 17th century about a commentary.
Reverend Dr. Jonathan Mayhew preached, he wrote a preface to Romans 13 and then preached a whole sermon out of it.
Okay.
Bro, that guy preached six sermons. This is how crazy they were back then. They preached on earthquakes. They did a six sermon series on earthquakes and how the Bible relates to earthquakes. They had a huge one. That's how they preached back then. It was like, what does the Bible say about what's going on right now? You know what I mean? And so these guys were incredible. These preachers were no joke, bro. Like, the more I study history, these guys knew history. So they weren't caught up. I love prophets. I am that guy. I operate in the gifts. I totally believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But they weren't caught up in what prophets were doing. They were caught up in what history said. Okay, we're repeating ourselves. How do we not do that from the past? And I kind of fall in line with more of the old traditional preachers. I really do. Martin Luther, I think, would have probably been one of the coolest cats to meet, although he probably would have been like a King David, very crazy when you read his works and stuff. But man, the revelation those guys got by genuinely just seeking God, not a word, not a prophet, not a minister. They sought the Lord and God gave them revelation for the nation. I think that's what we need back, you know, is what's the Lord telling us about what's going on instead of the next prophet. I hate slamming on them, but it's just true, right? We're almost clinging on to their words rather than God's word.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So, okay. Let's give a shout out here to the homeschool convention. So you're going to be speaking at the homeschool conventions. You're going to be at every one this year. I think there's five.
Yep. Great homeschool conventions. They've been good to us. We love them guys so much. They're incredible to work with, and they let us just preach what we preach.
So what are you bringing? What's your presentations this year?
I'm doing Slavery in America. That's a big one. I wanted to return with that one because a lot of people don't understand how little we had to do with slavery, but yet it's, for some reason, America is the bastion of slavery in the 1619 Project. So I'm going to blow that stuff out of the water also too, I'm doing a new one called, I think, America's Original Pulpit. I'm doing There's Nothing New Under the Sun, Keep Going, which I think talks about government in the sense that we've seen this before, right? And Thomas Watson once said, Satan takes great advantage of discontent. He loves to fish in these troubled waters. And so when we're all screwed up and don't know what to do, he loves to like throw his bait in there and really get you to think. But when you look at Ecclesiastes, man, he says, there's nothing new under the sun. And out of that message, I end with this set of scriptures. It's Jeremiah 29. Everybody knows those scriptures, but I I start with verse 4, and then okay. I go all the way to
there you go.
He says, this is what he's saying to the armies of God of Israel. He says, go build houses and live in them. Go mm-hmm. have babies. Go marry your kids. Build gardens. And then he says, seek the prosperity of your city, for where your city prospers, everybody prospers. Mm-hmm. So like, it doesn't matter what's going on. I still have to be a Christian. I still have to go do what I'm called to do. So don't get caught up in the mess and when's, you know, how economies are doing. That doesn't matter. God's your provider. Mm-hmm. You keep doing what you need to do before God. So it's just giving people hope and rest and like peace mm-hmm. that just keep being Christ-like and you watch God take care of the rest.
Yeah.
That's where we need to be. That's another class. We're doing one. I'm doing a couple on more of the history stuff.
Okay.
The Black Preachers. I'm doing that one. That one's going to be fun. Like mm-hmm. America's Forgotten History, like on the black side of preachers. And that's going to be good. And then I'm doing some repeats because I didn't know you could repeat.
Okay.
But a lot of people do repeats. One of them will be the what can one person do? And I go through history. William Wilberforce, Dr. Vernon Johns, I don't know if you know about him, but he was mm-hmm. before Martin Luther King. He paved the way for Martin Luther King to do what he did. Okay. But nobody really knows about him. These are forgotten heroes of the faith and, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'll do that. So all these classes and more about history and how we can use that today, right? That you don't have to be a huge man with a huge following. Just do what God does and you'll be remembered because he writes a book of remembrance of those that fear him. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at is I don't care what kind of change I make. I know I'm doing what I'm called before God. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have to
do. Yeah. So,
it's good.
Very good.
Those guys
good.
Are awesome.
GHC looking forward to it. Yeah, and you guys want to make sure if you do go to the homeschool convention, we got a big group from our church that goes. Make sure they've got a bunch of really cool swag. We got people at our church that are wearing the hoodies and the shirts. We've got a hoodie from you guys, and so
I wish I could put up our new shirts, bro. Like I can't show them to you right now, can I? Can I even do that?
I don't know if you can or not. If you can do the split screen or something like that, and
here, let's do a share screen.
There we go, and then people on the YouTube will be able to watch this. If you're on the audio, jump over the link, check this out on YouTube.
So this is our new shirt here. It's going to be on the front. It says, we recognize no sovereign but God, and we have no king but Jesus.
Love it.
That's Colossians 1, 16.
Very cool.
So that's going to be a new one. And then we have another one coming out here soon that will be, you know, we have that socialism shirt.
Yeah. Yeah. Steals, kills, and destroys.
Yeah. So that one actually, that one's going to be, also we're going to pair it with one on communism. Capitalism.
Okay.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be life, liberty, property or something like that. So we have a new design for that, but it's going to be the Carhartt logo.
Oh yeah.
So it's just a play on logos, but it's cool, man. I'm just excited to, there we go. I'm just excited to have the new stuff out and mm-hmm. we always have new things. We have a new constitution course out. We're doing a youth constitution course now for grades K through 6.
Okay.
We want it done by March. We hope we can get it done. But that's cool because we don't have, I don't know another ministry that does more youth-based things mm-hmm. on the Constitution and Liberty. So we want to do that. Very cool. So
that's great for homeschool co-ops as well, or just homeschoolers in general who want to get into that. So check that out. I'll put that link in the show notes. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find all of the stuff. I know you can just search Self-Evident on podcast, but tell us about the website and all the stuff going on.
It's called theselfevidenttruth.com. Theselfevidenttruth.com. And you can find all the information. We have a big event coming up here in April, just for people to come and get to know us here in Florida, though. I mean, you have to mm-hmm. travel. It's just fine. But there's just some good things. We hit the road this week. I go to Nevada Friday for 6 days to preach in near Lake Tahoe, which is beautiful this time of year.
More suffering for Jesus out there.
Come on, baby. Like I'm willing to do all things for the Lord. He hasn't called me to Africa yet. Thank you, Jesus. He called me to Lake Tahoe.
There you go. Yeah. And you being from Minnesota, you've got that ability to step into cold weather climate too and thrive. So
yeah, I ain't trying to make this about race, but Mexicans are still warm blooded. So
you're hardy.
It's gonna
man.
Be cold no matter what.
Yeah, you can handle it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Man, this has been really good. I've really appreciated it. Learned a lot from you, Massey, and looking forward to hitting up your sessions in the at the homeschool convention. I was going to mention one thing before. That's right. One more thing. I didn't do this on the front end. So all the listeners here, there is a great giveaway we have going on. It's Duckworth. Ooh. I'm wearing the hoodie right now. You want to check this out, sign up for free. You can check that out on Instagram. And they're just a great company, American-based, building things in America, making things in America, sourcing things from America. They're committed to that and doing a lot of really cool things. So check that out. Check out their website and pick up some gear and sign up for this. It's called the Powder Hoodie. This is a lifetime hoodie here. I'm going to have this hopefully when I'm an old man, and I'll be able to give this to a grandkid or something like that. So you want to check that out. Okay, guys, we've been talking to Massey Campos. Massey, I appreciate you coming on the show again, man.
Absolutely. And we'll have you on in a few weeks, if you don't mind.
We'd love to talk
to you about things you're doing about with, especially with youth and dads, because my buddy's doing a whole new ministry called Forge, Mike, who's on the podcast with me.
Okay.
It's about men and growing up them. And I thought, man, you two would just totally hit it off, and he can learn a lot from you, you know, so it's going to be good.
That'd be great. Yep. Looking forward to it. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.